Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
It is currently 6:14 and a half here on this Monday morning, September 27th, day 29 of Ida recovery. A lot of people still hurting in the area, but it is always a better Monday when the Saints win than when they lose. And I was thinking about that as I was walking Betsy the Boxer during our halftime rapid 12-minute walk yesterday. Mike Dettelier, co-host of Sports Talk, WWL NFL and college football analyst. Good morning, first of all. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you, Tommy.
I was just thinking about how much of a part the Saints are of our fabric, going back to, you know, families getting together and watching the game and experiencing this as just an event and a part of our lifestyle for, what, 50-something years now? How long has it been?
Yeah, something like that, since 1967, you know. So
it's more than just a game. I know it sounds crazy, but for us here, it really is. It's more than just a football game.
Yeah, it's an outlet for those couple of hours, it takes you away from everything else that maybe has gone wrong. And so I think both LSU and the Saints are like that, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I didn't mean to slight them at all, but it's the truth. It just gives you something to get together over and feel good about, and just like families. And I just think about all the people, and I'm not trying to wax nostalgic here or anything, but all the people that have been together over all the years. Some are still with us, some aren't. Some people who are 20 years old that, you know, they knew about Drew Brees and maybe not so much about the time before that. Anyway, let's get to the game itself. When you rush the ball more than you throw it, and you rush it very successfully, otherwise why would you be rushing it, right? And you got eight different receivers. You got three interceptions, one a pick six, and you block a punt. You better win, because the stats do tell it all in a way, don't they?
Yeah. Now, if you told me that Mac Jones would have thrown the amount of times he threw it in this game right off the bat, I'm telling you, the Patriots aren't winning. It does tell you the story. Maybe not the complete story, but it does tell you a lot about the game. But yesterday really was all about the Saints' defense. They played a very – now, come on. The other team's getting paid, too. So you got to understand, when you play that well in a pro game defensively, you have really done your job. And for the most part, they had a lot of confusion and put a lot of pressure on Mac Jones. Not give the kid credit. He hung in there, and he made a few plays, but for the most part, and the Saints were after him, put a lot of pressure. They stopped the run. You got turnovers. All of them weren't necessarily Mac Jones' fault. Man, come on, Jonnu Smith, he signed a four-year, $15 million contract, $15 million of it guaranteed. He dropped three passes, and he gave an easy pick six to Malcolm Jenkins. But that's just the way the world is. You accept that. When they make a mistake, you got to, you know, kind of take control of that. But it really was all about the Saints defense, Saints offense, just doing enough to win. And other than the two missed field goals, which I'm sure Rosas's time here is limited. Hope he was
ready. He's got to go. It's time for your name is. We appreciate your time, but time to go. Thank you. Because the ball even had a weird trajectory the way he was hitting it. It just wasn't good.
No, and you can see he's got a really strong leg. It's just that he can't kick it straight. So that's an issue.
Big, strong guy. I wouldn't want to fight him. Right, Mike?
No,
he's a strong guy. You wouldn't want to fight him, but you got to put it between the uprights.
He looks like somebody Vince McMahon. Hard for WWE.
He does.
I ain't kidding.
You picture him jumping down off the ropes or something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good. So what about Will Lutz? Is he coming back, or do we know? Will we have somebody else in between?
Well, what we don't know, he is eligible. But, you know, I don't know, and the Saints certainly aren't going to tell you, if he's healthy enough to come back. But, man, goes to show how much you miss Will, because that's the type of thing that happens in the NFL consistently. You get guys that are hot and cold. And Rosas, just a few years back, he was a Pro Bowl player. And, man, they go through it, you know, like a lot of kickers do in this league. But, man, your punting, your return game, to be able to get a block kick, that plays a part. And you're doing it against a team that it really emphasizes special teams as much as anybody in this league. Bill Belichick does that. So, that's a big feather in your cap. But you finding a new way to win, because you know you're not the same football team without Drew Brees. So you're finding a new way to win, and it's with, you know, okay, you're doing it with special teams, you're doing it with defense, you're taking advantage of turnovers, able to run the football, and passing attack is still a work in progress.
Let's take a break. We'll pick it up here when we come back. That block punt, by the way, going back to Rojas, resulted in no points, but it did. It was a possession. It killed some time. Mike Dettelier is our guest. You got any questions or comments, 504-260-1870. We'll be glad to take your call, put you on with Mike, or you can text your question in to that same number. Tommy Tucker here. It is 621 at WWL, and let's take a look at traffic on this Monday morning. 625, Tommy Tucker, WWL, morning after the Saints' victory. Saints are 2-1. Mike Dettelier is our guest. We all know Mike, co-host of Sports Talk, WWL, NFL, and football analyst. Mike, boy, in terms of swarming defense, in terms of textbook pass coverage, of blocking, knocking passes down, and covering receivers and so forth, I've not seen an effort like that from the Saints in a long time. Have you? Or from any team, really?
Yeah, they did a really good job yesterday. And you understand you're playing a rookie quarterback, and you gave him a taste of the same medicine the Panthers gave you last week.
Mm-hmm.
You came after him, and we talked about it in pregame. Hey, listen, I do that. I want to see how well he responds when he's seeing people coming after him from different angles or different looks. And so you gave him a good dose of it. And listen, the kid held up pretty well. But, you know, he was unsteady in the pocket, I guess is the best word to use, because he had a couple balls out there. And defensively, I thought they did a really nice job in the coverage part of the game. They went after a Debo, but he better get used to that. Mm-hmm. Being a rookie in this league, you know, they go after you and try to break you. Marshawn Lattimore, I thought, really played well. He was a guy coming off the surgery with the broken bone in his hand. I thought he did a really nice job in the coverage part of the game. Came up well in run support. Again, your safety play is really strong. And you got a pass rush. And I can't say enough about Dario Davis.
That's amazing.
He's like a heat-seeking missile.
That's what I told you, Mike. That's what I texted Jordan yesterday when he blows up those screenplays. He's like a heat-seeking missile. You can try to hide. You can change your course, but he's going to get you.
Yeah, and it is rare in this league to see a guy who sort of bounced around, and he's become a star in his 30s in this league. I mean, that really doesn't happen a lot. Because normally you've seen this a little bit earlier in his career, and he has become a big-time player for the Saints. And, man, you think about some of these free agent pickups throughout the years. Certainly Drew is at the top of the list. You can make a pretty strong argument that Davis is in the two spot for the best acquisition for how you got him here. So, man, he's been just a terrific football player. Really, really is. And a great leader. And a guy on and off the field is kind of the role model. He really is.
Somebody texted in here, can you ask Mike, please, that last week the Saints looked sluggish, and this text is long and it's kind of disjuncted, so I'll try to get it out. Saints were missing a few coaches, looked sluggish, slow to modify their game plan. When punched in a mouth this week, they had all their coaches back. What do you think about the effect of missing coaches on a game plan and execution from last week as compared to this week, Mike?
Well, you're missing players and coaches. So that part you didn't put into that. But listen, coaching does matter in this. Coaching does matter. And, you know, look, the Panthers caught you at the right place, right time. A lot of times, and I'll say it, it's not who you play, but when you play them. Mm-hmm. And I think the Panthers caught the Saints at the right time. When you're dealing with issues with injuries, with not having the coaches, and being displaced, okay? You're going on a month now that, you know, you've had this traveling show on the road. So it does matter. It really does matter. And coaching's a big part. This football team's a well-coached team. You gotta tip your cap to Sean to come up with that game plan. And defensively, what Dennis Allen and his crew does also.
If you look at what they've been through in terms of Ida displacement, coming home last night for the first time, then looking at their houses and dealing with it, I will take 2-1 any day of the week. Forget what happened. It doesn't matter how they lost last week. It's just an L. And it's all that matters. They're 2-1, and I like it. We'll pick it up when we come back. Jameis Winston's touchdown yesterday to I forgot his name. Number one, that was kind of like, to me, Marquez Callaway. That was like a golf ball hitting a tree and then going in a hole. But either way, you'll take it, and sometimes you need some luck. We'll talk more when we come back. 6:30, time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Dave Cohen. 6:47, 13 before 7, more with Mike Dettelier. You can second guess, of course, with the two Cajuns, Bobby Hebert, Mike Dettelier. At the Silver Slipper on the beach in Hancock County, Mississippi, they'll talk about the Saints, Patriots, LSU, Mississippi State. What impressed, what depressed, then at 6:30, Saints Coaches Show with head coach Sean Payton and an assistant. And at 7:30, Monday Night Football, Eagles at Cowboys on your home of the Saints, LSU, and the NFL, WWL. Mike, I equated that touchdown yesterday to when your golf ball hits a tree and bounces in the hole, which, look, we all need breaks every now and then, right? And Jameis yesterday had a very competent day, but, and I'm not criticizing him at all, but if he has a day like he has yesterday and the Saints defense isn't on top of their game like they were yesterday, can this team win consistently?
Does no,
he have
you're
to
not
do more
win.
Is what I'm asking you.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you got to get better play from your quarterback position. No question about that. But we've seen this now back-to-back days because Saturday, if you watch an LSU, Max Johnson throws the ball up. I see the two defensive backs from Mississippi State run into one another, and the big tight end, Cole Taylor, takes it in for a score. Now, right off the bat, you said, boy, that was a well-designed plan. No, Max Johnson wasn't throwing the football to Cole Taylor. He was throwing it to Kayshon Boutte. And because they got two receivers very close to one another, the two defensive backs run into one another. Taylor makes the catch and runs it in for a score. Okay, that's not a play design. That probably would have been an interception. So, you know, sometimes you got good luck and sometimes you don't. But, you know, for Jameis, you know, you understand you don't want him to make the big mistake. But this team... And it's not just Jameis now. You got some offensive line issues without your starting center. And, you know, you look at your receiving core, you know, you got to get guys open downfield. That's the other thing. So it's not just Winston. It's your passing game as a whole you got to get better at because you're not going to be in this situation all the time. You're going to have to be making more plays offensively. I thought yesterday the big difference was you had a running game. Come on, you rushed for 140-something yards rushing on 38 attempts. Alvin had a really strong game, but you were able to run the football with Kamara, with Tony Jones and Taysom Hill. As much as people say, man, I'm tired of seeing the same thing, and sometimes I say it too, it was the same thing, but man, Taysom came up big for him on a couple of big runs for this football team. Man, that running game opens up the passing game for you. But I agree with you, Tommy. It's not criticism. It's reality. You got to get better there. That one throw up Callaway was lucky. And, man, you could tell Sean wasn't real happy about it, even though it was a touchdown.
Let me get this in, Mike, before we run out of time. I'm going to run this
line play.
I'm going to run this by you real quick. It seems like Jameis Winston, and you can't see on TV, I don't know what the hell's going on downfield or not, but if you're comparing him to other guys like Matthew Stafford, Aaron Rodgers, et cetera, it seems as though they have such a control of the defense, of the knowledge of the defense. They got their primary receiver, then if he's open, boom, he goes to him right away. It seems like Jameis might sometimes hang on to the ball and go through the progressions and then make up his mind, because he's not sure, and that goes to having knowing the defense like the back of your hand. Am I close to anything being accurate there or not?
Well, the thing with it, you know, you had a quarterback, because you're trying to compare now, but you had a quarterback before. He knew the offense better than what Sean Payton did.
Mm-hmm. Boy, true.
Mike New told me this story. He's like, man, being in a session, you know, with Drew Brees is like he's teaching history and telling you what happened before it happens. And that's the big difference now, that now you've got still a quarterback in the making, so to speak, of what Sean wants him to do. And so there's some processing there. And also, too, there are other pieces of the puzzle. You're still getting a lot of pressure from up the middle. And I don't see any great separation from receivers at times. Mm-hmm. At times they open, other times they not. So do you want him to throw that ball and risk the interception?
Oh, no.
Nope. You don't want him to turn it over. So the passing game and as a whole, from protection to getting open to making the correct read and throw, that needs to be upgraded on this football team. And listen, I'll take 2-1. That's all that matters.
Absolutely.
The other
that's
stuff
exactly
you can
right.
Get better at.
We'll look at it week to week. Tell me about the LSU, it applied to them and applied to the Saints as well. Somebody texted in about prevent defense. I don't know what defense they were in. But sometimes, especially in a situation with Matt Johnson or with Jameis Winston, you got a big lead. You want to run the ball. You don't really want to put it up because you don't want to put them back in the game. However, if the other team knows you want to run the ball and you don't want to throw it to put the other team back in the game, it can be kind of tough to have a big lead like that, right?
Well, for LSU, wasn't no proven defense. Somebody didn't watch the game. LSU played the same defense all game long. The problem with LSU is they can't run the ball and take time off the clock. That's the main issue.
One first down in the fourth quarter.
Come on, that's not on the defense. Defense was gassed. They did their job for three quarters. LSU's offense got to be able to run the football. And for the Saints, listen, you're going to give up. This is the NFL. Those guys getting paid too. So, you're going to give up some plays here and there. But, man, for the most part, the Saints defense really won you that football game. Now, you can nitpick, which that's what second guess is all about.
There you go.
You can nitpick all you want, but, man, the defense won you the football game yesterday.
Amen. Let's hope they keep doing it. 2-1, I'll take it, given everything that's going on. Thank you, Mike. We'll listen this afternoon, all right?
We'll do it. Thank you,
Have fun at the Slipper. All right, Bobby Hebert, Mike Dottiglie, two Cajuns, a second guest at the Silver Slipper on the beach in Hancock County, Mississippi.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.